Good evening, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And this evening we're going to have a very, very controversial program. I've asked a woman known as Arizona Wilder to be with us, and she is going to be telling you some very, very strange things. Some of this, she's going to be talking probably about the Illuminati, but she's also going to be talking about forces. She's not coming from a Christian perspective at all. But I think that it's important that you understand that there are people out there who have a different world vision than the Christian vision of the world. And of course, most people don't have any idea what's going on. I think that this young woman certainly has an idea that there is truly a battle going on. But of course, I think that's some real question in her mind as to how it all fits together. So I just wanted to preface our remarks by saying that this is not going to be coming from a Christian perspective, but I think it's the Christians that need to understand that there are forces out there and there are people who have a completely different world vision than we do. And we need to understand what they believe and why they believe it. And Arizona is going to be talking at the conspiracy conference going to be held in the Santa Clara area on Memorial Day weekend. And I'm going to be there. Of course, I'm going to be coming from a Christian perspective. There's going to be a lot of people there who will disagree with me. But be that as it may, we need to be able to take our position in the battlefield of ideas, and certainly sometimes even perhaps go into situations where there will be dark and spiritual forces, because, of course, hopefully the light of God can shine through what we say and what we do, and perhaps at least introduce some people who are very, very perhaps mistaken about what's going on in the world, and lead them towards the path of righteousness. So with that as a background, we're going to be getting Arizona onto the line here in just a very, very few minutes, and I'll let her tell you a little bit about herself and about her background, about her story. But the big problem we face today is that most Christians do not understand the spiritual battle in which we're engaged in, and I hope by this evening and several other programs we're going to have this week in preparation for the conspiracy conference that you will at least begin to catch a glimpse of the forces that are at work within our society. And it's very, very difficult, I think, for people to imagine that there really is a spiritual battle as well as a political and ideological battle going on today. But this is not certainly a theory. This is the reality of what's going on today. And if you analyze very carefully what has taken place in the last few weeks as far as our victory in Iraq, and it really was a victory, but then there's so many things about that victory we might simply ask some questions about. For instance, why was it that the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, was so much smarter than all of the generals that we have in the in our military? Because all of them, of course, believed we would have to have many, many, many more soldiers if we were going to be victorious to ensure a victory. And, of course, the Secretary of Defense, with no military background other than the fact he was Secretary of Defense back in the 1970s, said, no, you're all wrong, I'm right, this is how we're going to pursue the battle. And sure enough, with a very slight interruption for a sandstorm or two, why it turned out that Donald Rumsfeld, our Secretary of Defense, was right and all of our military was wrong. What does that suggest to you? Does it suggest to you that maybe he might have had other information that was not available to the generals? Where, of course, were the weapons of mass destruction that we went to war to take out? Where is Saddam Hussein? There are so many questions that we could ask, but I don't want to get into that because right now we have Arizona with us. Arizona, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you're going to have to speak up just a little bit.
Okay,
can you, are you speaking at full tone here?
I believe so.
All right, well, I'll turn up the slide here as far as I can to see if we can, okay, fine. So anyway, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and, of course, how you became involved and concerned about what's going on in the world.
Okay, who I am is I was involved with the top elite of the Illuminati.
I'm going to have my producer call you back again. See if we can get just a little louder, a better phone line, because you're awfully soft. Okay.
All right.
It was using code hang up, and I'm going to ask our producer to go ahead and call her back again. See if we can't get a better line. So, Herman, would you mind calling back and just see if we can get a better line for us and see where we're going here? Because I do want our listeners to be able to hear, and although I can hear Arizona, I'm not sure they're going to be able to hear. So we're getting her back on, and what Arizona was saying was that she was involved with the Illuminati. Now, to most individuals who have been, of course, raised in the controlled atmosphere, the idea that there was an Illuminati or some sort of a secret society out there, it seems entirely foreign. But I'll tell you that my grandfather told my father about the Illuminati, and that was in the early 1900s. Certainly, we were able to get from the, but with very, very great difficulty, and we offered through our ministry, from the Library of Congress that came out of the Jeffersonian collection, a treatise written in about 1803 or 1804 on the Clintonian Illuminati, tied into Governor Clinton at that time, as far as we know, no relationship to Bill Clinton, but the Illuminati was alive and well in New England in 1804. So you go ahead and pick up the story there, Arizona.
Okay. I grew up as the oldest of four girls, and I grew up thinking that my life was just a normal life. I actually went the way of going into some therapy to try to deal with what was going on with me, because I didn't know what was I didn't know what other way to go.
Well, now, why did you need therapy? What sort of problems would cause you to want to have therapy?
Well, what was going on was that I was having terrible flashbacks. I was having all the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder.
How old were you at the time?
I actually started having these in the 1980s, and I was in my 30s, or just about.
All right, fine. And what sort of flashbacks would you have? What would you see, or what would you think you were reliving?
Well, I was having flashbacks of being in rituals.
Now ritual procedures of some sort. So what sort of rituals were they?
They were rituals in which there were sexual orgies going on. Rituals in which there would be a child that was being killed. Things such as that. There were some very perverse violent things.
And so you have no memory of this, but you would just have these flashbacks as if, but you didn't remember anything like this from your childhood.
No, I remembered only that I'd led the most boring life that anyone could ever have.
All right. And so you're having these flashbacks, and of course, this really bothered you deeply. You were emotionally distraught by this?
I was very distraught. I also had missing time.
How do you mean by missing time?
I had started to realize that I didn't have any recall of certain periods of time in my life.
Okay.
And it would range from years down to, I can't remember where I was 24 hours ago.
Okay, so you sort of lose track of time, and you lose certain parts of your childhood, as it were. Would that be right?
Yes.
All right, so go ahead with the story.
Okay, and I also seem to have clothes that I didn't know how I came to have them in my possession. People would tell me at certain times, do you know you have an English accent? Other times, people would attribute actions to me that I found incomprehensible to myself. As far, you know, I wouldn't act like that.
Did you ever suspect that you might have had a dissociative personality? In other words, that you had several personalities, that certain things were happening to you that were really happening to somebody else, but it was really another part of you?
I never, until I actually went to see someone, I never considered it. Simply because my only experience with it was what the media wants you to know, and that would be something like Sybil.
All right, okay.
Or the three faces of Eve, and to me that seemed very melodramatic and crazy.
Okay, so then what happened?
Okay, so I went and got into therapy, and I soon realized, and I was tested first to rule out anything physical or anything neurological, any cause such as that, and any chemical cause, and soon began to have to accept the fact that I had multiple personality disorder, or what is known today as dissociative identity disorder.
Right, okay.
And when I began to go into therapy, because that was the only support that I had, my husband divorced me, my family disowned me, my children were taken away from me, I was set up by my ex to look very crazy, and my family and my ex, who I believe are programmed anyways, really tried their hardest to kind of coerce me to come back. And by going back into the family system, then I would have accepted things as they were, and I would have been taken back into the fold.
No, but of course, wasn't this a normal family, or was there something strange about your family at all?
My family, they were very moralistic, and my parents didn't drink. They were school teachers. We were very sheltered and kept away from other people. The family was very secretive.
Your family was very secretive. That's a little strange. They didn't socialize with other people? Or were there certain people that they did socialize with?
That I could remember, they didn't socialize with anyone, ever. And they, it was a very dysfunctional system. Families that are involved in this are very dysfunctional. Each, you know, member prying into the other family member's business. And the purpose of that is to make sure that the, you know, that a family member isn't going out and telling the secrets, because in a dysfunctional family, the only secrets are from the outside world.
All right, fine. But what were the secrets that they didn't want you to reveal?
That we were all, in fact, mind-controlled, involved in all of this activity.
Now, what activity were you speaking of now?
Well, for example, my school records are missing. And the fact is that I was being taken out of school, especially grade school, during the day, and being taken to China Lake Naval Weapons Station out in Ridgecrest, or to Seal Beach Naval Weapons Station in Orange County, and I was being put through mind control and programming. And my programmer was none other than Joseph Mengele.
Well, now, how do you know it was Mengele?
Because of what I remember and what the attributes of this man are, and then talking to some other people. And I came up with the name on my own.
Well, now, did somebody tell you that, or perhaps you'd read something about this infamous Dr. Mengele, who was known as the Angel of Death in the Nazi death camps?
I had only seen, you know, what anyone else had seen, and, you know, in television or in history books. That's what I knew about Joseph Mengele.
Uh-huh. So why do you think that this man that you were dealing with was Mengele?
Because of some of the phrases that he, you know, I remember, and I found out that these were things that had been said to other people that were around him.
All right, fine. Now, did he have a German accent at all?
Yes, he had a German accent, and he would call himself around me. He called himself David. He called himself Joseph. He also called himself Dr. All Business. He referred to himself a lot as Dr. All Business, and there was a German accent, and he also had played violin in front of me.
All right, fine. So he was very then friendly with you, this doctor that you feel was Dr. Mengele. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. And so they were doing some sort of mind control experiments on you?
Well, it wasn't, I have to say that it's not really experimentation. It was a form that many people have been put through. It's purposeful. They kind of gear it towards the individual, and it's done to make the person into a pretty much blind, obedient slave.
All right, fine. Now, for our listener out there, you're listening to Arizona, and you're probably saying, this sounds like the craziest thing I've ever heard. And I would say so, too, if I hadn't actually talked to Dr. Colin Ross, who has written a book we carry called Bluebird. And, of course, he has 15,000 pages of CIA records, as well as having read hundreds and hundreds of scientific articles in the peer review literature that deal with the CIA program of mind control and creating dissociative personalities. And basically what happened after the Second World War is that the OSS and then the CIA brought a number of Nazi scientists to the United States, about 1,000 of them. 250 of them went to work in the space industry, some of the most violent Naval Nazi war criminals were brought here to America and, of course, given a free ride, forgiven for everything their terrible crimes had done. Many of the Nazis were actually helped to escape to South America by the OSS. But, of course, the other 750 of the 1,000 Nazi war scientists, and this is all covered in books like Operation Paperclip, or The Secret Agenda, Linda Hunt's book, Secret Agenda. In fact, you can't get a copy of it. Tried to get one the other day. It cost $125 for this book. But most of this information has been carefully suppressed in the United States. And you're saying, that couldn't happen here in the United States. Well, I will tell you that this sort of thing does happen in the United States. And, of course, what Dr. Colin Ross found as he began dealing with people with dissociated personalities, they all had the same story. And a number of them that he had talked to had told him that they had been, had met Dr. Mengele. Now, I've personally met before this evening four people who told me almost the same story. And one of them is very close to us, goes to church with us now. She came out of a family that was involved in the ritual abuse, these horrible ceremonies that Arizona is talking about. And it wasn't until, of course, she was able to overcome this, and now she actually helps other people who've gone through this, and people from all across America come to her who are victims of these same mind control programs. And the whole purpose was to create mentally deranged people. Why would you do that? Why, of course, you could use them as Manchurian candidates. You could use them as spies. You could use them for all sorts of things for your devious purposes. You would have to be very evil to want to do something of this sort. But, of course, what people don't understand, there really are evil and wicked people in the world today. And so why don't you pick up the story from there, Arizona?
Okay. When I began to uncover these memories, and at one point in that time period, which was about 1989 through 1998, I was in therapy with a very well-known therapist.
All right, fine. Well, of course, a lot of people are going to say that these are false memories that have been implanted in your mind.
Well, nobody ever suggested anything to me, and that's why I have a hard time, because when people imply that these were suggested to me and I tell them no, they were not suggested to me, then they kind of just look at me like, well, you're really crazy then.
Well, you know, the amazing thing about this, and for those of you who have never heard of the false memory syndrome, you can go up on the internet and check it out, and there are an organization of people who are saying, oh, there are people that have all of these stories, but they're all false memories. In fact, there are a number of psychiatrists that organize this to explain that there are all these people with these false memories. But you know about this organization? You know who are the people who organized it? People like Jocelyn West, a psychiatrist from the CIA. In fact, he was down there visiting Timothy Lee McVeigh when he was in prison. Dr. Jocelyn West has subsequently died and gotten to his just reward. But, of course, both of the key psychiatrists, or two of the key psychiatrists in the false memory organization, trying to convince everybody that all these people were running around with false memories, just happened to come out of the CIA mind control program. Isn't that an interesting coincidence? And, of course, as you get into this deeper and deeper, you begin to understand there really are people who want to have worked to create mental disease in people. Go ahead.
The False Memory Syndrome Foundation is funded by the Human Ecology Fund out of, I was just on the tip of my tongue.
It doesn't matter.
Cornell University.
Right. Well, I suspect that's getting CIA money. Because the last thing they want is the American people to know about this.
Yeah, well, Human Ecology Fund is a CIA grant operation.
So how did you find out the CIA was involved in this?
Well, I have had personal involvement or experience with Jolly West.
You know Dr. Jolly West?
Yeah.
How did you happen to meet Jolly West?
Well, I was being taken to UCLA also. It basically the parapsychology unit over there that was being run by Thelma Moss, and Jolly West was the medical director.
All right, for our listeners, what is parapsychology? Well, it's delving into the metaphysical, and many of our major universities, like Stanford, has a center there that is delving into the supernatural, as it were. And, of course, I didn't realize they have one at UCLA, too. Well, that's our tax money at work here in California. So go ahead. We're going to have to be right back in just a moment here. I got so interested in talking to you, I missed one of our cues for a break we're supposed to go into. But go ahead and tell the story, and we'll go from there. When you met Jolly West, was he working with you and trying to in any way influence you?
Well, he was doing a bit of programming. So they have the MK Ultra labs over there at UCLA.
Now what are the MK Ultra labs for our listeners out there? Because we have people up in all across the country listening to this program. So what is MK Ultra, and what did that have to do with you?
The MK Ultra is the CIA programming. And the labs are specifically places where they have induced this programming on individuals. The parapsychology unit over there was involved because they also had ties to the parapsychology or the paranormal activity that was going on in Russia. I was taken to Russia and trained there.
You were taken to Russia and trained there? When was that?
Oh, during the Cold War era.
Well, what year is about?
Oh, approximately 1961, 62, 63.
Now, how old were you then?
I was in grade school.
Okay, fine. And so, how long were you in Russia?
Off and on, as far as I know. I was there off and on for short periods. Throughout those years.
We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is the speaker named Arizona Wilder, who's going to be talking at the conspiracy conference. It's going to be held in in the Santa Clara area on Memorial Day weekend, May 24th and 25th. And any of our listeners who are interested in knowing anything more about this, it's going to be a very unusual group of people talking about, is there some sort of a force working behind the scenes? Is there some sort of a conspiracy? Does it somehow involve the Central Intelligence Agency? Or, well, anyway, if you'd like to know more about it, you can call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Or go to their website, conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon.com. I think you'll be, you'll get some idea what this is all about if you go to their website and then, of course, get the information put out by some of their, or linked to some of their speakers. And I'm, of course, going to be speaking there. Jim Mars is going to be speaking there. But Arizona is going to be speaking there as well. So anyway, of course, then, was it the CIA who sent you to Russia for this programming?
What I want to say at this point is that it is not the CIA that is controlling and directing this activity.
Okay, who is it?
But it is Naval Intelligence.
Okay.
And they have deep pockets. They have established bases that nobody can question. And they are the ones that control and are involved with the programming. They direct it. They are the ones directing and controlling the cult activity in this country. And they have the overseas connections they've always had. The United States and Russia, during that time period, their intelligence agencies were working together. And the KGB and the CIA were always working together, even though they appear to be working as opposites.
You know, that's an amazing statement. You make that to the average individual, and they, of course, would look at you and they'd say, well, that's just crazy. But I will tell you, I had the opportunity one time of interviewing one of the top CIA operatives who actually was associated with Naval Intelligence. And we sat, I was doing a filmed interview with him. His name was Gunther Rosbacher. And if you talk to people in Naval and in the CIA, they all knew Gunther. He was sort of like a living legend. And I said to him at one point, I said, you know, the story you're telling me reminds me of a movie I saw with Robert Mitchum. I think it was called The Brotherhood of the Bell, The Brotherhood of the Rose. Because it is told the same story of, you know, the CIA and the KGB working together. And without missing a beat, Gunther Rosbacher said, why, that was the story, that's my story. That, of course, the book is dedicated to me. Well, of course, I was very, very skeptical of this story when I heard it. And, you know, of course, the next day I was down at the bookstore buying a copy of Brotherhood of the Rose to see if it was really dedicated to somebody named Rosbacher. And as I went through, it was dedicated to Pete and James, but a special thanks to Russ for the information that made the book possible. So, you know, when, of course, his story to me, and he was a top CIA operative, was that the CIA and the KGB were working hand in hand. So what Arizona is saying is not as wild as you might think. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, the naval intelligence is really directing so much of this. They also direct the activities of the National Security Agency. But all of these intelligence agencies and people are not the ones that are deciding all of this that happens above them. There are the different groups, but on the top level, it's Illuminati.
All right.
And within the Illuminati, it's a ruling body of eight.
Now, of course, how do you know for certain? Now, you don't have any personal experience with the eight people, do you?
Yes, I do.
You do? Well, I'd like to hear about that for our listeners out there, though. What do we know about the Illuminati? Well, you can go to the 1911 British Encyclopedia Britannica and read all about it. You go to the modern British Encyclopedia, somebody has removed any mention of the Illuminati, or almost all mention of the Illuminati, from modern volumes of the British Encyclopedia Britannica. Why would that have been done? Because, of course, they don't want you to know the truth about the secret societies. You can get a wonderful book. It's called Fire in the Minds of Men, written by James H. Billington. We actually carry that. Fire in the Minds of Men. James H. Billington is the Librarian of Congress. He writes extensively about the Illuminati and, of course, this secret occult organization that existed in the 18th and 19th century. And, of course, we know it still exists today because we have the writings of George Washington. We have the material we got out of the Jefferson file from the Library of Congress. The Illuminati still exists to this very day. We'll be right back in just a moment with this incredible story. All right, Arizona. Well, we're just giving a little difficulty, but let's tell us what experience then did you have with the Illuminati as such, with this secret organization that exists behind the scenes?
The Illuminati have pretty much directed and controlled events and the agenda for this planet for thousands of years.
Now, what you're suggesting that this is a age-old conspiracy or movement, always working behind the scenes, that is directing the course of mankind. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
All right, fine. Of course, if you read Robert Baer's book, See No Evil, he will tell you that the Iraqis all believe that, that he never met an Iraqi who didn't believe that. And the book See No Evil, we carry it, by Robert Baer, senior CIA analyst, case officer in Iraq back in 1995. He said every Iraqi he met believed the United States was keeping Saddam Hussein in power, and some believe that he was actually working for the CIA. And then he went on to say that the Iraqis believe that there is a secret or mysterious force that guides the affairs of mankind up from behind the scenes and really controls the unfolding of events throughout the world. So this has been a belief of people in the Middle East for many years. It's amazing how most people in America, of course, scoff at the idea there could be secret societies or anything of that sort. And yet, of course, they look at the back of the dollar bill, they see the emblem of the secret societies every day. And, of course, it just goes right over the top of their head. They never ask what a pyramid cap eye of the all-seeing eye of Lucifer or Horus or Osiris is doing on the back of the dollar bill with the inscription beneath Nova Ordo Seclorum. What's that doing on the dollar bill beneath the caption, "In God We Trust"? Or what God are they referring to? God of the Bible? The God of the ancient Babylonians? Well, why don't you pick up the story? Tell us a little bit about what you know about the Illuminati and how you know it.
Okay. I want to start this by saying that most of the population on this planet are limited in their perception of things. They're five sensory people. They don't have some of what they call extrasensory perception, which I think it's being also very intuitive.
All right, fine. There's certain people almost, you're talking about, that they're almost clairvoyant. But that is not the majority of people.
Most people have been shut down through, we've all been carefully controlled and programmed and taught to believe that if you can't see it with your eyes, or you can't hear it, or you can't touch it, pretty much it's not real. If you don't perceive it in this physical world that we're in, it can't be real.
Well, are you suggesting then that there is a spiritual world that is out there that most people are unaware of?
Yes, I think that most of humanity's been shut down, and this planet is operating on lower vibrational levels, and they're pretty low right now.
All right.
And this is to the advantage of the Illuminati, who do not originate from this planet.
Well, you think that they're from another planet?
Originally, yes.
Okay.
They live amongst us. They are reptilian.
Reptilian. Now, what do you mean by reptilian? Because we hear that term, but what are they really?
They are, I believe, known as Anunnaki, who came from off of this planet a long time ago. And one of these groups pursued what are known as Aryans, which are not Germans. But they were originally pursued, the last place before they came to this planet was from Mars.
Okay, so do you think these people actually come from Mars?
Well, the race that they were pursuing, which are now called Aryans. Okay, it's basically they're light-haired, white-skinned, light-eyed people who are descended of the Lyrans.
Now, what is the proof of that statement? Because there are certain people who write about it, David Icke and certainly Maxwell Jordan and other people talk about these things. And, of course, although David Icke won't be at the meeting, the conspiracy meeting, certainly Maxwell Jordan will be, David Hopsinger, not David Hopsinger, but yeah, I think maybe it's Hopsinger. Anyway, certainly other people are going to be there that are going to be talking about some of these things. But where is there proof of this that people can validate other than the writings of these people?
I think that people have to just research.
But where can they research?
Well, they're going to have to go and start with the libraries and the Internet. Because these are things that were actually passed to me orally.
All right,
by the Illuminati.
All right, you were told about these things by, but the Illuminati is not, is it individuals in the Illuminati, or how did these ideas come to you?
This is part of the training. I was trained for a position called Mother Goddess within the Illuminati.
I see. In other words, you feel that you were raised for this purpose?
That was my purpose. I'm not supposed to, according to their plans, I was to be impregnated with a child when I was 39 years old. That child would become 13 when I was 52. That child would then kill me in a ritual and take over my power. And these mother goddesses, there's only ever three on the planet.
I see,
at
well,
one
I,
time.
Okay, now, who told you that, that was the plan?
Well, specifically, nobody told me except one person told me, you know they're going to do this to you when you're 39. And I was 37 at the time.
But they didn't tell you that this was the
plan. No, this is all information that I was able to access when I went and started keeping journals.
I see. Well,
I wrote copiously.
But I mean, you wrote it, but where did the information come from other than your writing?
As far as where did I copy it from somewhere?
Right. How did you know, you write it down, but where did the ideas come from?
This is what I was told. This involved years. It's taken literally years for me to write everything down as it came and then hold on to this material and start looking at it when I was in a clearer state of mind.
Okay, but I mean, who told you that this was the case? In other words, somebody had to tell you about this plan.
Well, there was one person that I was around in that originally had told me. She was a so-called guard for me during rituals that took place in the Orange County area. And she had told me this. She didn't tell me anything else but that, you know, they're going to do this to you when you're 39.
You mean impregnate you with it?
Mm-hmm.
She said they were going to impregnate you.
Yeah.
All right.
But I had this stuff written down. I already had it written down. And the thing with someone going through doing this memory work, when someone actually tells you something and you've already got it written down.
Yeah. But of course, you've written it down from your memories, or you had actually believed this was going to happen. But where did you get the information that you wrote down before the person told you?
These are things that you're taught. This is an oral tradition that's passed down in training.
All right. Now, would this have come from your family? Would this have come from having anything to do with the Jolly West, who you claim, or Vietnet, or with Mengele, or with where? In other words, who had told you these things that you wrote down then?
This specifically is a group called Mothers of Darkness.
Mothers of Darkness. And what about them? How did you encounter them, or were you under their tutelage?
I was within that group, and I was chosen for this position because of my abilities to access other dimensional levels.
In other words, you were clairvoyant?
Very psychic.
Okay.
In a way that the reptilians could use that.
And by the reptilians, you mean these creatures from outer space?
Well, these are reptilians that came and interbred with humans and therefore have shape-shifting abilities. And these are the same persons, beings, that run our governments. And
what you're saying is that these reptilians have bred with women and created offspring here?
Yes, and they keep it within their bloodline families, the ones that will carry on the reins of power.
All right.
And people like, such as myself, are slaves for them and privy to some of what is going on with them, or things that have been said around us, thinking that we would always be slaves.
Now, well,
never thinking, because of the ego being so big, that we could break the programming and go back and talk about what we've seen and what we've heard.
Well, now, of course, if you've heard all of these things and you're trying to expose them, why haven't they just eliminated you?
I think that I myself, I don't believe that they can. I don't put myself in a place spiritually where I even think like that. that.
All right, fine. Oh, Krista, do you? I noticed that we did not only have a telephone number to call you at. You actually called us this evening to let us know where you are. Do you move around frequently, or do you have a regular place you live?
I've had some things happen to me. I put up with some amount of harassment, and my living situation changed lately, but I don't believe that it's ordained for them to stop me from talking about this.
All right, so you actually do talk about this. Do you do many radio programs on this? Do you give many talks?
I have spoken a few times, and I have done some radio shows, but I have held off really, really being very public. I was interviewed by David Icke. I did a taped interview with him. It's gone all over.
With David Icke. Now, for our listeners out there, David Icke is writes extensively on this. Of course, he also believes in the reptilian people, and certainly much of what he says about the ruling class that rules the world is absolutely right. Some of the things, of course, I would probably disagree with David on, but that's neither here nor there. We're not interested in what I believe. You want to hear what Arizona is thinking. And do you think that David Icke is right in his analysis of what's going on in the world, that there is these people here with supernatural power who have come from another planet?
What I think is that they physically came from another planet, but that they are also on another dimensional level, which is called lower fourth dimension.
They come from another dimension then. Could you sort of develop that idea a little bit more?
Okay, the lower fourth dimension is pretty much a nowhere dimension. It's kind of a void. And they are not able to access higher dimensions. They are extremely psychic here on this planet in that they know what you're thinking before you do something or say something. They're able to figure humans out and pretty much lead them around by the nose unless someone, human is aware of it.
Are they able then to influence humans and more or less control them with their minds?
They have that ability. What they don't have is the ability to operate on a higher vibrational level, and that is spirituality. They don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically are making this planet their nest. They're dragging it down. And then the human beings on this planet buy everything that's being said, that we are polluting the earth. This is basically, it's the Garden of Eden story all over again. It's the snake, which is really a reptile, leading humans around by the nose. And people just fall for it. They buy it. Everything, that's been introduced, usury and everything else, is coming from this shape-shifting reptilian group.
You're talking about this usury, which is the basis of modern-day banking.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay.
Yes, this whole system, everything about it, fluoride that's being introduced into the water system, aspartame, everything that's toxic, that's poisonous, the whole system operates around these really, the principles introduced by the shape-shifting reptilian group, run the intelligence agencies.
All right. Well, certainly there's no question that aspartame and NutraSweet is a very dangerous product, and it was known very well that it was dangerous and produced all sorts of birth defects and infertility, and if women did conceive after being on this, then their child would have deformities. Of course, this was passed. The only reason that it was ever accepted by the FDA was because the president of Cyril company was on the Reagan transition team and picked the new head of the FDA. The head of Cyril was known as, I think his name was Donald Rumsfeld. today he is the Secretary of Defense, who was just so smart. He was smarter than all of our generals. He knew exactly how the war was going to play out. Well, there are lots of unusual things going on out there. Certainly you're right about the fluoride. And there is a conscious effort to poison the American people of the world today. Most countries, of course, have outlawed fluoride. Europe has given it up. England has given it up, except they, of course, use it in Northern Ireland, my understanding is concerned, but they don't use it in Great Britain. Of course, they're using it here in the United States. And, of course, there are all sorts of strange things going on today that really don't make any sense. And so that certainly would tend to make what Arizona is saying certainly appear to have some validity. So go ahead, Arizona, because I'm trying to explain to our listeners out there who've never heard anything like this, and they're saying, what is he talking about? And yet, of course, you're absolutely right. They are poisoning us today. Go ahead.
Okay, it's all about control. It's about making people more malleable, because that is what fluoride does. And Hitler, before he invaded a country, 3 to 6 months before he did, they dumped fluoride in the water supplies. And the Russians used fluoride in the water supplies for the prisoners of war. And this was all to make them more amenable to being controlled.
Right.
It makes you listless. It makes you politically unable to think for yourself.
In fact, a major chemical component of Prozac is fluoride. Go ahead.
Yes, and this is the whole system. I mean, you know, we've been talking about me, how I've been programmed and mind controlled, but this extends to the American public.
Did you ever see that program? It was on television. It was called The Pretender. It was the story of this young man who'd been taken to an institute, and of course he'd been kidnapped in this story, and of course they performed all these experiments on him, and then of course he eventually escaped, and he spent the rest of his life each one of the weekly versions he was always trying to escape as they were trying to recapture him. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I've seen that. I think this was, his character's name was Jared.
Right. What did you think of that program?
I could relate. You know, when you're involved in government mind control, you're always told you can run, but you can't hide. That's what they tell you.
I've been told by so many people who've been victims of government mind control that that program, The Pretender, was really a takeoff of what had really gone on. But since people saw it on television, they'd never believe it could occur in real life. What was your thought of that?
Well, sometimes I think that things are allowed to be on movies or on television to see how the public will react to it, or if they will react to it.
Mm-hmm.
They're just testing. And, you know, testing to see if the population has become apathetic enough. Because I see a great deal of apathy with the American public. They don't question things.
No, Christian, one of the interesting things, you know, Timothy McVeigh, when he was on trial in Denver, we have the book written by his lawyer, Stephen Jones, and the first thing that Stephen Jones brought out was that Timothy McVeigh had written his sister and said, "I am part of a special forces unit involved in illegal activity." And, of course, the prosecution never challenged that at all. Timothy McVeigh said he'd been had a chip in him. Jocelyn West, for the CIA psychiatrist, was there visiting Timothy McVeigh on a regular basis while he was in prison. What does this all suggest to you? And if this is really true, and I've verified that fact from Jocelyn West and Timothy McVeigh from three different people. One of them was Timothy McVeigh's, one of his closest friends. We did a number of interviews with him, and we asked that several times. And yes, in fact, Timothy McVeigh didn't want to see your friend Jocelyn West, but he got in there. He seemed to be every place that everything bad was happening. Did you have that feeling?
I really suspect that Timothy McVeigh was very programmed. I know he was in a special unit. I believe it had something to do with the McVees.
The what?
They were called the McVees.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a special unit.
It's something like Special Operating Forces, or SOGs, special operating groups?
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. Now, this is a special group of these special forces, only for very, very special people who are programmed as assassins and other murderers. You know, they believe that they're doing the patriotic thing. They do what they do to protect America. But you need only to get into the story of some of this, and you begin to realize the devious things that really do go on. We have one, a Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin, we've done some programs with, who is part of the Special Forces, trained as an assassin, in fact, commissioned by our government to kill Prince Sihanouk. If you want to get our interviews with him, or you can go up to his website, the Expendable Elite, I think it is, .com, expendableelite.com, and pull down Colonel Marvin's stories of course, how these Special Forces units were used for murder on a large scale, and of course just the elite, of course, of these specially trained people. So it's not too far-fetched to believe that perhaps Timothy McVeigh was part of some special unit. Would you think at all?
Well, I know that he was.
You know that he... Well, how would you know? Because I suspect that I don't know that he was.
Well, I cannot really go into
okay,
that.
Okay, well, that's all right. But you have reason to believe that he, very definitely, he was part of a special unit then.
Yes.
I mean, I've certainly been very suspicious of it, having read extensively. And for the skeptic out there, the book is Others Unknown... the Oklahoma City bombing conspiracy. That's the second book that Stephen Jones wrote, and in that book he tells you how he opened the defense, saying that Timothy McVeigh was part of a special forces unit, or at least has written his sister to say that he was part of a special forces unit of our military involved in criminal activity. And not one word from the defense, and of course totally blacked out by the controlled media in America. And so there are many, many strange things going on in the world today, aren't there, Arizona?
Yes, there are.
And of course you're just out there trying to make people understand that there is another dimension out there that people are unaware of.
There is another dimension, and it's pretty much comes down to a spiritual warfare.
All right, fine. And so you recognize the fact we are involved in spiritual warfare today?
Mm-hmm, yes.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
You know, I think that people need to be aware that there are other things going on here. And I know that part of what the agenda is to keep people so involved with just trying to survive day-to-day living, that they're so busy doing that that they don't think, and they're not supposed to think, and they need to be aware of that.
Well, do you have anything written or a website at all people could go to?
I soon will have a website. I do not at this point. If anyone wants to contact me, I do have an email.
Go ahead. What is it?
Okay, the email is az2351@go.com.
At go.com?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay, that's az2351@go.com.
Yes.
Okay, God bless you. And I'll be looking forward to meeting you personally at the conspiracy conference over there. That's going to be held in the Santa Clara area, and it's going to be held on the 24th and 25th of May. That's Memorial Day weekend, a Saturday and Sunday, two-day conference. And if you're interested in knowing more about it, go to their website, conspiracycon.com, conspiracycon, one word, .com, or call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Thank you so very much for being with us tonight. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, and looking forward to meeting you.
Thank you.
Good night, and
good
God
night.
Bless you. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, I wanted you to hear, if you're out there in the listening audience, this, because, of course, we're really talking about what Arizona is saying is that she was a victim of CIA mind control. Now, all I know is what she says, but I've heard this story from other people. And those of you who doubt that the CIA paid psychiatrists to create dissociative personalities in individuals should get our interviews with Dr. Colin Ross and certainly get his book, Bluebird, based upon 15,000 pages of CIA declassified records and many articles by the psychiatrists who are actually paid to create mental disease in people. You need to get some of my interviews with Mark Phillips and with Kathy O'Brien, going into the background of these programs to create mental disease. But over and above that is the spiritual component, because, of course, when people start talking about reptilian people, what are they really talking about? Well, those who don't believe in God have to believe that these demonic or evil forces come from outer space. And I don't believe that for 1 minute. That's what David Icke and many of the people who follow him believe. I believe it was in the days of Noah. And do you remember when Jesus was asked, how will we know about the time of your return? And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when I return. And, of course, what was happening at that time? Why, these demonic spirits, these fallen angels, were coming to earth, and they were mating with women. And, of course, they had an offspring. They were the Nephilim. They were the rulers of that time. Am I saying that's what's going on today? Quite frankly, I don't know. Well, I've noticed as I talk to people who come from these other dimensional, these other concepts, that there seems to be a continuity of these ideas. How many of them have told me, and have actually told Dr. Colin Ross, that they encountered Mengele here, and many of these people I've encountered have been very rational, straightforward people trying to get information out. Nobody knows what happened to Dr. Mengele, the angel of death, really the most vicious of all the Nazi scientists. Could it be true that some of them were brought here to the United States? Well, of course, only time will tell. But we do know that they brought 1,000 Nazi scientists to America under Operation Paperclip. How could you conceal that? Why, you control the media in America. You control the outlet of books. And when somebody does write a book like Linda Hunt's The Secret Agenda, why, you make it so expensive that nobody in the right mind would buy it. And, of course, there are many books going into the background of these incredible, incredible stories. And, in fact, you might even want to come to the conspiracy conference and hear more. And I'm going to need some help, because I'm probably going to be the token Christian who's there. But I recognize the spiritual battle. I hope you do, too. So pray for America and pray for revival. Please pray for my ministry and pray for me when I go to this meeting for my provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, when we'll be back with you, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will be. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily Those are the owners, management, staffs, the sponsors of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And right now, of course, we invite your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But let's go to Randy Thomason. Hi, Randy. Where are you? Are you down here in the Monterey Bay area?
Yes, I am, and it's good to be with you.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you tell us about what's going on?
Well, it's a privilege. This may be one of our most important interviews ever, if I can just say that, because the listening audience of yours has an opportunity to make a difference for the entire state of California. I'm here in the Monterey Bay area because tomorrow I'll be leading a news conference outside the Monterey County Courthouse, basically urging the two legislators, Simone Salinas and Rebecca Cohn, of the area to refuse to support a bill that would bring in homosexual marriage and reverse the vote of the people. You might remember that 3 years ago, the people of Monterey County, San Benito County, and Santa Clara County, and all the way down the coast, actually, except Santa Cruz County, voted overwhelmingly for the protection of marriage. And now there's a bill called AB 205, which is coming up for a vote very soon at the state capitol, which would give all the rights of marriage, virtually, to domestic partners. And it's a deceitful sleight of hand. It's really a very aggressive undermining of the people's vote. And it would reverse what marriage is. It would reverse what the people voted for. And we're asking the legislators to reverse what their intentions are. We want them to vote no or abstain on this bad bill. And the importance of the area cannot be overstated. As I calculate how many votes it takes to win, it looks like if Rebecca Cohn of the State Assembly of Saratoga, and she wants to be state senator for the entire Central Coast, and Simone Salinas of San Benito, Salinas-Watsonville area, if they do not support this bill will be defeated. And it's something that's a very close vote, and it's why I'm in the area.
All right, fine. And so do you have any suggestions at all for our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. And these are more than suggestions. I actually hope that you will do it. Do your part. I need you to make some phone calls and to call Rebecca Cohn at 916-319-2024.
Let's give that one more time.
Yes, 916-319-2024 and call Simone Salinas at 916-319-2028. That's 2028. And say you want them to oppose AB 205. This bill disrespects the people's vote on marriage and ushers in gay marriage. And this is something that you should do. You should call them, and they may say, where do you live? Tell them, because here's the point. Rebecca Cohn wants to be state senator for most of the Central Coast, and they need to know your address. And Simone Salinas, he needs to hear from you, especially if you live along the 101 in Watsonville, or Gilroy, Salinas area, all the way down to King City, or in San Benito County. If you live in Monterey County, call Simone Salinas. But please give them a call. Your voice and your phone call matter more for the families of California than ever before in my memory.
All right, fine, Randy. Do you want to get your telephone number out and your website?
No, I want to use my breath in inviting people to a news conference.
All right,
we're live right now, aren't we?
We are live, and you're being heard all across the Monterey Bay area. You're being heard all across the country.
Well, Internet is great, and the signal is working as well. I'd like to invite you to come to a news conference, just attend it, and stand in support of marriage. It's tomorrow. That's Wednesday, 11 a.m. Come about 10 minutes early, but the news conference will start at 11 outside the Monterey County Courthouse, which is 240 Church Street in downtown Salinas. 240 Church Street in downtown Salinas. Come about 10:50 and bring some friends. We're having special speakers. I'll be speaking. Former State Assemblyman Peter Frusetta will be speaking. Former State Senator Dick Monteith, Also, Monterey County agribusinessman Christopher Bunn, Latino community leader Pastor Manuel Dorado, and others. And we've invited the TV stations, the newspapers, and the radio stations, and we'd love to see you there, too.
All right, fine. So that is in Salinas at the courthouse?
Yes.
All right, fine. The courthouse in Salinas, and you simply go past Moss Landing and go through Castroville, and it'll take you right in almost directly to that area.
But what everyone can do from, you know, your kitchen table or your office is make that phone call to Simone Salinas at 916-319-2028 and Rebecca Cohn, 916-319-2024. Tell them no on AB 205. The bill rejects the vote of the people and ushers in gay marriage. And that's something important. We need a flow of phone calls from your listening audience. And each one of us can make a difference. And please do, because tomorrow morning about 8:30, the phone lines will be open at the state capitol. And they need to start receiving lots of phone calls from people they want to please, because they want to get elected and reelected. And your phone calls really matter.
All right.
There's more information at our website, Dr. Stan. SaveCalifornia.com. You can sign up for free email updates. But thank you, Dr. Stan, for your leadership, your faithfulness, and doing so many hours of ministry every day.
Well, thank you for everything you do, Randy. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right, Dr. Stan.
Okay, bye-bye. And we'll see if we can get Brad Dacus up here next, and we'll talk to Brad. And then, as a piece de resistance, we're going to have our good friend John Leffler. And we're going to be talking about what's going on in the world today, the future of the United Nations, and, of course, anything you want to talk about as well. And that's the wonderful thing about talk radio. We don't necessarily have a schedule. We try to just bring out the stories for you, get you thinking, and give you the information you're not going to get from other sources, because most people are not going to tell you about the spiritual battle that's there, and that a fact that, of course, all these people that really, of course, believe in reptilian people do not recognize the biblical nature of what they're talking about. They're talking about, I believe, what, of course, we've seen so many of the stories, the alien abductions by UFOs. And believe me, there are UFOs there. You study them, there's no question. And many of the people who've studied the UFOs, like Jacques Vallée, who is not a Christian, had come to the conclusion that these are metaphysical entities. And we even carry a book called Higher Than Top Secret. And, of course, the foreword is written by... we don't actually carry it. I just have a copy in my library. But former head of the British Air Force, and saying if there really were these UFOs, I would know about it. And he said the only explanation is they're all metaphysical. And when you understand it's metaphysical, then, of course, everything begins to make sense. Well, right now, of course, we have on the line, hopefully, Brad Dacus. So we're going to see if we can pull him up here. And Brad, is that you?
Hey, Brad Dacus.
Okay, good to see you. It seemed like I just saw you a couple of days ago. But anyway, tell us what's going on here in the world. As far now, Brad is from the Pacific Justice Institute, and he's on the front lines of defending Christians, Christian organizations, or schools, or parents from the onslaught of this truly a diabolical force that's out there intent upon corrupting humanity. And I think that if you study what's going on, you have to realize there is an effort to destroy the moral fabric of our society. Randy was just talking about that with some of the new legislation, but certainly everything is being done to undermine the faith of our people. So what's the latest successes or failures we're having?
Well, Dr. Stanley, this is clearly a success, and we definitely put some of those forces of evil back in their cage this last week. Down in Cuesta College, a professor down there decided that he did not agree in good conscience with because of his convictions, his character, to continue to support the local union there representing allegedly representing the professors at that college. A union that supported issues, causes, and candidates that were liberal, extreme, clearly something he didn't agree with as a level-headed, educated man. And so he decided he wanted to have all of his union dues instead to go to a charity, which he can do under Title VII. Anyone paying union dues, if had a sincere objection, like this man, can have all of their union dues given to a charity. And they said, well, I'll tell you what. First they said no. Then they said, okay, we'll let you give to a charity. You can choose between the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, or the Gay and Lesbian Task Force, or Liberal Foundation. That hardly was, as you know, Dr. Stanley, acceptable choices. He contacted us at the Pacific Justice Institute. We went to bat for him. We've been fighting hard for him. I am pleased to announce that the union finally capitulated and agreed to his demands. He's now having all his union dues go to a charity that fits his convictions, and we're real glad to hear that.
Well, I hope it's the Pacific Justice Foundation. Anyway, God bless you for what you do. Let's get your telephone number and, of course, your website out there.
You bet. People can reach the Pacific Justice Institute at 888-305-9129. That's 888-305-9129. Or our webpage, which is pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Thanks very much. God bless you. Thanks for everything you do.
You too, Dr. Stanley. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, now we'll get John Loeffler on the line. And John, of course, is one of my favorite guests. Those of you who listen to KFER, we're broadcasting over this evening, know that John is the host of the program from 7 to 8 every Wednesday evening and does a wonderful job. He has a ministry known as Steel on Steel, and certainly one of the best informed people in the entire nation. He and his wife were both working within the secular medium. And I guess well over a decade ago, they just decided that we were moving into the times where America was going to be destroyed. And, you know, at least he was going to play any part at all in trying to educate people. They were going to have to get out of the secular media and start doing programming on their own. And so that's exactly what they did. They left San Francisco in the comfort of a regular salary, and they went to Denver, and simply on faith, they got onto radio there. And John originated his program, Steel on Steel. And soon it was really one of the most prominent, widely accepted programs there, something people listen to every evening during drive time, built up a great listening audience and great support among the people. And then somebody came in and they didn't like what he was saying about the United Nations, forced him off the air. So then he went up, of course, he worked in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, with Chuck Missler at Koinonia House for a time. And now, of course, he is doing production for other people, but he still has his Steel on Steel programs on, and if you don't listen to them, you're missing one of the high points of my week and of yours as well. Every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8 on KFER, and of course you can go up on the web and pull down his programs at steelonsteel.com, and the idea is that iron sharpens iron, and that men sharpen men, and that's why he calls his ministry Steel on Steel. And I hope that our producer is not having difficulty getting John on this evening. Of course, as with every Tuesday evening, he goes to his karate class and has to get home here afterwards. So it looks like we're having a little trouble getting John. And, well, we'll just hope that he'll be coming in the door any moment. There he is. Hi, John. Is that you?
Woof, woof, woof.
And now, did you go to the karate class tonight?
Yes, I did. Actually, it's Jeet Kune Do.
I see. Fine. Well, did you duck this time?
Yes, I did, but my knee blew out last week, so I'm hobbling around with a brace.
You know, you are getting a little old for that. I gave that up when I was about 35. Maybe.
Actually, it's a real hoot. It does marbles for my adrenaline when somebody's pounding on you. You know, really.
Yes, but you know, when they kick you in the eye as they did last week.
You know,
you shouldn't tell the fella to try to kick you so that you could learn how to duck.
Yeah, well, that's what I did. I said, you know, you're aiming over my head. I said, aim like you mean it. Well, he did. So I had a great shiner for Easter weekend. It was really good. And Carol said I should put mascara on the other eye, at least have a matching set.
Looks sort of like a raccoon then. That's
yeah. That's pretty much what it did, yeah.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, Chris, we're going to be talking a little bit about what's going on in the world because, you know, these are probably the most trying times of our lives. And the average individual really thinks it's all over. You know, we've won the war, isn't it great? We got rid of the wicked Saddam Hussein, and now the war is over, and of course we've really showed those old terrorists that they can't take advantage of America. And of course the tragedy is that, you know, American people have such a short memory. They probably don't remember Christian Breitwiser's testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee, the Combined Intelligence Committee looking into 9/11. We published that in our October newsletter. And of course, she raised many questions about September 11th. And it's very obvious that this is why the administration did not want an independent investigation, or if there was an independent investigation, wanted it headed by Henry Kissinger. And of course, when he didn't qualify, then they brought in a new controlled committee that would come up with the preconceived conclusions that, of course, was just a mistake. The CIA and the FBI didn't know what they were doing. They weren't talking to one another. We had no human intelligence. And it didn't matter that every other country in the world was telling us there was going to be an attack on America, coming in September, why our officials were sure it was going to occur in Europe someplace. Well, anyway, there is some great new testimony. We'll be talking about that later on some of our future programs. We just got that yesterday, a testimony given on the opening day that really exposes the fact there are so many unanswered questions that nobody even wants to address of what really happened that day. So, but anyway, where do we stand right now? We've supposedly defeated the wicked Saddam Hussein, but nobody ever asked what happened to the weapons of mass destruction, or how could Saddam Hussein possibly have gotten away from our forces, and where is Saddam Hussein today? Is he perhaps off someplace with Osama bin Laden? Who knows? What are your thoughts about what's coming out? What's the future of the United Nations? What is going to happen in the Middle East? Is everything going to quiet down? Are we going to establish a democracy over there? Are we going to bring prosperity to the Iraqi people? Are we going to give them the sort of prosperity we brought to Germany and Japan after the Second World War? And if we do, where's the money going to come from?
You want one of those questions answered? Or
well, you go ahead and pick up the story from there, John.
It's like watching a radar screen, and you stare down at it, and all the blips are moving at the same time, and they're all going in different directions, and you're trying to figure out the pattern of what's in on there. We know, let's see, if you and I do a review sort of everything we know so far, we know that going into Iraq, the weapons of mass destruction was a ruse. In terms of, he may have had some weapons, etc., but so do other countries, and we're not going into them, and that type of thing. None of the arguments really held water. That's the important thing to note.
And, of course, everything I'd heard is that the weapons of mass destruction, the chemical and biological weapons have been moved into Syria. Our leaders knew that, but they couldn't let the American people know that, because then, of course, we would have had to go to war with Syria rather than Iraq, and we needed to hit somebody very weak so that we could finish them off and then have an excuse to permanently station troops there in the Middle East.
Right. I was watching the Syrian ambassador today on C-SPAN, and he looks pretty nervous right now. Joe DeCourcy did a real interesting assessment or threat assessment of where we stand terror-wise.
Tell our listeners who Joe DeCourcy is.
Joe DeCourcy and his father actually founded one of the oldest intelligence services, private intelligence services in the world, and I subscribe to his weekly bulletin. But he actually says everybody's surprised that we aren't having any terrorist activity.
In other words, a reprisal here in the United States.
Right,
well, why
exactly.
Is there any terrorism? We're told about the terrorists, and we got to take off our shoes when they go to the airport, and we got to be searched, and they got setting up cameras, and they're monitoring everybody's, what books you take out of the library, and they're, checking your emails and your faxes and your telephone conversations. And if there's such a terrorist threat, why haven't there been any terrorist attacks on America since the anthrax attack, which came just 3 weeks after the September 11th, 2001 attack? Why is that?
Basically, what he's saying is, number one, there really has been stepped-up global surveillance and cooperation, so that's had an impact. But even more than that, number two, all the countries in the Middle East are trying to look, quote, normal, end quote. It's very much like, I remember after the Murrah office building, and President Clinton launched his assault on on the right, blaming everybody on the right, hate radio and the whole bit for what happened at the Murrah office building, which we know is not true. It was came from radically different sources than that. But everybody in Washington, as Gary Bauer was saying at one point, was just, he said the atmosphere of paranoia there was just incredible. Everybody was scrambling to look moderate. Well, in the Middle East, they're all scrambling to look look non-supportive of terrorism because this whole shock and awe has really shocked and awed them. Let's be honest about that part of it. But then the third section is that the problem was that 911 actually did too well. And it was a rather spectacular event, you know, the airplanes crashing in, the buildings crashing down. And so if they're going to do something again, they have to do something equally spectacular, or it's going to be viewed by the world as just another big fizzle and a big ho-hum, or who cares, or something along those lines. But he said also his bottom line is, never underestimate the quantity of grievances that the Islamic world feels toward the West right now that have little, if anything, to do with the war on Iraq, that predate the war on Iraq and will post-date any reconstruction that goes on in Iraq. So that's probably why we haven't seen terrorism yet, but what that means is that the next terrorism we have is going to be a doozy, because they will do it. And, you know, we're doing all these things at the airport. We have this border with Mexico, and I've been talking to the ranch rescue crowd and some of the other people down on the borders there in Texas. That's it. We got hundreds and hundreds of people walking across the border just in Texas at night.
Every night, I mean.
Every night, yeah.
And, of course, the Border Patrol is told not to do anything about them. Oh, you got to get a quota, and once you get your quota, people, then don't you dare get off your chair. Just sit there, and they're intentionally leaving the border open. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know that.
Yeah, I tend to believe we're being rather intentionally steered towards certain outcomes, towards more instability, et cetera, because we know, if you go back and check the articles, and now we're looking at them, like, for example, the collapsing of the United Nations. Remember we said as far back as November, when you and I talked, there had been a sea change, and they were either going to collapse the United Nations as a result of all this, or we were going to radically remake it. And the lead article in Foreign Affairs this month is the UN versus U.S. power, Michael Glennon on the end of a grand experiment. And they're saying that the UN Security Council has basically lost its credibility, and in the crises to come, which means we're already anticipating oncoming crises, it won't be very useful. And he said then the architects, and he uses the phrase New World Order, are going to have to go back to the drawing board and come up with a new organization, you know, a new type of situation that will really take into account the realities of international law to make this thing all happen.
All right. Now, I think for our listeners out there who do not know what the Foreign Affairs magazine is, this is what you read if you really want to know what's going on. Don't read Time Magazine and Newsweek and U.S. News and National Review and Reader's Digest and, you know, don't read Insight and the New American. If you want to know what the other side's doing, read Foreign Affairs, because it's the theoretical journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a front group for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created in 1891 to take over the world. And you can verify that on pages 951 and 52 of Professor Quigley's prophetic book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And, of course, Professor Quigley was Bill Clinton's mentor. So the Foreign Affairs really tells you what the people who control the world are thinking. Would that be a fairly good statement?
Yeah, and it's basically, I think the way Dr. Cuddy puts it is, it's, you know, it's not so much of a conspiracy at that level as it is an open collaboration among people of like-mindedness. There is no lack of a discussion about how we need to turn over large chunks of our sovereignty to these international bodies. And they'll always talk out of both sides of their faces, meaning they'll discuss this type of activity quite openly among themselves in their articles, their speeches, and things like that. But when it comes up on the mainline media, they'll poo-poo it and deny it and say, oh, that's just stuff that conspiracy coups come up. And then they'll turn right around and do it again. I was really surprised to see the expression New World Order. That theme is still being drummed. When you and I talk about it, we're conspiracy kooks. When they talk about it, they're enlightened or something. I don't know. But the one thing you can't ever get them to quite do is directly define what they're talking about. So you have to read the articles. And here he's saying, right now we've got all these, he said we have to abolish ideas of eternal truths and sovereignty and various issues like that. And we have to ignore these various competing claims for what is right and wrong around the world, and basically just do what it is we think we need to do to make this thing a reality. So if you run that through the translating sieve, what he's saying is we have to ignore all of these religions around the world making claims to eternal truths and simply put into place the type of organization that we want to have in place, regardless of that.
And so what they're really talking about is the fact that as long as the United Nations would go along with our agenda, then everything was fine and we'd give them money. And but now the curse that the that they've got Syria, I think they're the head of the Security Council, or not, maybe the generalist, I guess the Security Council, and they wouldn't go along with what we wanted to do. We're just going to turn our back and say the United Nations is irrelevant, which incidentally I believe it is anyway. And now, of course, we are going to do what we want to, which is in our best interest, or as the Project for the New American Century group said in their Statement of Principles of June 3rd, 1997, what we want is a new international order to foster our principles and our prosperity. And incidentally, anybody who wants to read that, go to their website, newamericancentury.org, newamericancentury.org. Look up the Statement of Principles of June 3rd, I think it is, 1997. And they're very straightforward. And of course, people say, well, what's wrong, though, with America leading the world? Wouldn't that be great? What is wrong with America leading the world? We're making a new world order, John.
Well, what's wrong with it is that the people, like in the State Department now, do not have a constitutional view of the world anymore. Most of these people have sold out to sort of a socialist worldview. I call it global socialistic pantheism. And so when we put this new worldview in, it will not be a constitutional republic of the world. That's probably the first thing that will be wrong with it. Even now, we're not preparing to put a constitutional republic really in place in Iraq. We're running a bunch of people over there to train them all how to do the consensus process, which is Marxist to its core. And so that's basically what's wrong with it. Even with the United Nations, people would say, remember the old quote from Harry Truman, well, all these 50 or these 48 states learn to get along in a republic, there's no reason we can't learn to get along in the United States of the world type thing. He said that as early as 1951. But the problem is that if you look at the Charter of the UN, for example, it resembles nothing of our government. It bears up none of our rights. Even the UN Declaration on Human and Civil Rights and Human Rights has all these weasel words built into it that allow them to opt out at any time. But it was obvious that the UN was becoming big, bloated, full of a lot of vainglorious people. It wasn't serving the goal of where we wanted to get. And so as early as November, I think you remember I called you on the phone. I was calling everybody I knew that had been watching this stuff. I said, tell me if I'm right or wrong, but I sense a sea change in the whole direction here. It's almost like they fired a shot across the bow of the United Nations and the European Union and this new alliance. Because if you remember, Tony Blair was just buddy-buddy with President Clinton when he was in office. And then when President Bush came into office, Blair was very cold towards him. And then all of a sudden, why, my gosh, they're dancing cheek to cheek. What happened here? And so somebody signaled a change, the alliance that came in. I said, my gosh, this looks just like the old alliance that Cecil Rhodes used to dream of, the Anglo-American alliance that would ultimately dominate the world. And that's pretty much what they're doing. So what they're doing is, if you notice, they're charging full speed ahead with this whole thing, and they really don't care. They haven't tied up any loose ends, if you've noticed, Dr. Stan. There's a lot of loose ends and unanswered questions. If you just ask the hard questions, you don't get a lot of answers.
Well, we'll be back to give those answers, or at least to get our comments on the lack of answers in just a moment here. At Radio Liberty, welcome your calls, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is John Loeffler. And as long as we've got him on the line, before I forget, John, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your material?
Well, they send me a check for $5,000. That's the start. And then, actually, our website is steelonsteel.com on the Internet. If you're not in an area where the program is on the air, you can listen online. we offer online subscriptions and program listening to that in MP3 or Real Media Player, or they can call us at 1-800-829-5646, 1-800-TAX-JOHN, and we can send them a list of our shows, and they see. We do a 90-minute, no-nonsense news program every week. We don't take call-ins. We just deliver news and information. And, you know, speaking of news and information, the one thing that's really interesting is that we've really, between September of 2000 and September of 2001, we passed through a portal into an entirely new world paradigm. I'm not sure how many people have grappled with that. We came up from the Oslo peace process in the early 90s. The Arab countries started to behave themselves to see what they could get for free out of the Oslo peace process. The Berlin Wall came down, and the world's media were proclaiming peace in our time, you know, peace and security, that type of thing. And even the arguments were, well, why do we need to keep missile defenses? Who are the enemies now? What possible, you know, enemies could we have now? And I was probably one of those lone voices out there saying, well, now wait a minute. You've just destroyed the old rules, and we have all sorts of people waiting in the wings here to do something. Before we had one enemy, now we're going to have multiple. So the whole peace process trotted on forward. We had a couple of minor inconveniences, like the Murrah office building blew up and TWA 800 came down. But other than that, it was good times rolled. The stock market was flying high. The one problem with the peace process is that all through the 90s, nobody put the hard issues on the table. And that was the thing we were waiting for. Well, what happens when we start talking about the fate of Jerusalem and the final borders and the right of return and all of these issues and security issues? We knew those were not reconcilable. Sure enough, by about summer of 2000, they finally got thrown on the table, and as we expected over the last 9 years, they collapsed. In other words, that was it. That was the end of it. And then suddenly we had this spontaneous intifada, which was about as spontaneous as a performance of Beethoven's Ninth. It was something that Arafat was good at. They planned for it. We know they'd planned for it. There was an article that was done in a Beirut, Lebanon newspaper that reported on the plans that they'd had. And so you had this uprising. That lasted for a year, which ended in 9-1-1. So we passed through this portal. We've left the Cold War behind in its format. We've now come into a totally new paradigm, fourth-generation warfare. And things have changed. And now the globalists have burst out of the UN paradigm, and they are making a full charge ahead, which means we have a lot of instability ahead. They're already giving you these little buzzwords in there if you read a lot of the materials about instability coming, et cetera, that type of thing. So I don't think people have really digested this yet, Dr. Stan.
No, I don't think that they have either. I think that they don't understand that America is in a financial crisis. We have, within the last 27 months, we've given away 2,600,000 American jobs. The jobs that are not coming back, that's just in the last 27 or 28 months. This is not happening by accident. It's happening as part of a long-range plan. The dollar is under attack. If the dollar were to collapse, everybody who has any of their investments in annuities or insurance or, in the bank or in bonds or in stocks, they could be wiped out literally overnight, as the people were in Argentina in the past, and that they've been in Mexico and Russia. People have no idea, we could see the pension funds simply destroyed, and lifelong planning for life after working suddenly would be gone. And, of course, then who would you turn to solve your problems? John made the point that we're working towards global socialism. But you must understand that the socialism you learn about in school is not the reality of socialism. Socialism is a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory, but it doesn't work without force. Somebody's got to be in charge. In fact, socialism is really a return to a feudalistic system with a ruling elite and then a massive military and police class that will watch you and read your emails and faxes and listen to your telephone calls and have video cameras every place and monitor what you read and what you think and keep dossiers on everybody, and everybody will have an ID card. That is, of course, the world we're moving towards now, and it's not happening by accident, and it has nothing to do with the threat of terrorism. This is the end stage of an authoritarian society, not only for the United States, but the entire world. And most people can't even see what's happening. They think we're doing this because we're fighting terrorism. And, of course, that, of course, is a great lie. We're doing this because they want to control the American people.
The thing is that what you and I do is we take seriously, well, the first thing we always take is Scripture seriously, which gives us, it's a giant jigsaw puzzle, but the Scripture actually puts the whole frame in place. So we start filling in the pieces with a frame already intact, which is a key issue on a jigsaw puzzle. The second thing is you take what these other people are saying seriously, whether we look at education or the moves toward the global issues, change of sovereignty, et cetera, the obsolescence of national sovereignty, et cetera. And you look at what they tell you they're going to do. I don't listen to Insight Magazine and all of these things. I go to the think tanks and see what these people are saying, the Eastern establishment. Because ironically, it tells you where we're going to be in about 6 to 9 months in many areas. So you're right about one thing. The economy right now, by the way, if you notice, Greenspan got the light from the president, you better change your tune or you won't be around very long. And suddenly Greenspan got in line behind Bush's income tax cuts and everything. The reason is right now our derivatives market is still exposed. The stock market is nowhere near the bottom. None of the debt has been discharged. Debt is increasing at just absolutely alarming rates. And now it's not people in profligate spending more, but rather just spending on credit to try to stay alive every single month. That's the number one. So what's happened is, once again, we have backworking of the markets. We know that there's a plunge protection team. Despite all of the efforts to deny its existence, the evidences of its existence and the way the markets behave is clear. But the word on the street is we're going to try it one more time. We're going to inflate. We're going to drop taxes. We're going to hype the market. We're going to play all sorts of games through leveraging and other issues to make this whole thing fly, so that President Bush will be reelected in the next election. We may even see a small market uptick. In other words, you're even hearing them now proclaim that we're now in a new bull market, which is bull, but not a market. Okay.
I think it's really so interesting. You're absolutely right. And one of the most ingenious things is, of course, this plan to privatize Social Security so that people can invest their money themselves and won't simply be in the Social Security Fund, which really sounds great. But the real purpose behind it is not to protect the savings of the American people. But if they have all that money and they start investing in the stock market, it will, of course, raise the stock market just as they hope that the tax cut will raise the stock market. Now, I want a tax cut, but I want to decrease spending. They want a tax cut with no decrease spending.
Right. And we just raised our sales tax here in Idaho 1% as of the 1st of May. And, you know, and in your state, it's even worse. That's at the state level, not to mention the national level.
Right.
But we have an economy that is heading down into, it may be a slow depression, but it's heading that way. And it's going to continue downwards probably through the years, I think some estimates I've heard, 2006, 2007, before it even starts any kind of a turnaround. This is not something you can jumpstart. So the problem is that you have that converging on the other side, with this whole increasing instability. And you're right, the average person on the street really doesn't understand what happened, and it's not necessarily what's happening, it's not necessarily their fault. If you sit and watch the hairdos and the suits in Washington, they're not telling you what's happening, for Pete's sake. Look at the whole reporting of corporate profits, okay? What are they telling you right now? They say, well, you know, the XYZ Corporation beat estimates. Well, what does that mean? Well, they took a loss, but they took less of a loss than they thought they were going to take. So what they do is they report they beat the estimate. See, that's designed to deceive is what's going on. The funny part is after Enron and WorldCom, then the federal government, President Bush, comes in here and says, oh, this is terrible, and we've got to watch this. Well, the federal government does more of that than the private corporations, private sector does. And the bottom line, as I always tell my listeners, is you really have to understand, they're lying to you. They're lying to you at every turn and every way, to the point that no figure is reliable, because it is all geared to achieve a predetermined outcome and response from the American public, not to inform the public as to what is really, really happening.
And, you know, we're going to have almost a half a trillion dollar deficit this year. I mean, you know, it took the from the time America was founded up to the time that Jimmy Carter completed his term of office in 1980 to accumulate $1 trillion in deficit. And George Bush is going to get almost half a trillion. Now, you're not going to hear about that. You're going to hear it's only about $300 billion deficit. But, of course, they don't tell you that they have also stolen all of the money from the Social Security and Medicare funds. And that, of course, is all being spent. And, of course, that's another $250 billion. And the only way you really know what's happening is look at the level of the national debt. And they'll tell you, oh, we had a $300 billion deficit this year, but the national debt went up half a trillion dollars or $500 billion. So how did that happen? I mean, if you only had a $300 billion deficit, why did the national debt go up? Why? Because, of course, they stole all the money from Social Security. But you don't have to worry. Your Social Security money, your pension money is as solid and as dependable as the promises of American politicians.
Well, I would say then that we're in real trouble.
Right.
You know, how do you tell if a politician is lying? You look very carefully and see if their lips are moving.
Right.
So, and it's really true. In other words, the issue is we're out of Social Security, we're out of Medicare, they're all broke. If we weren't collecting tax today, they would not be able to pay it tomorrow, literally. It's nothing but a giant transfer system right now. So we're facing that collapse. We're facing the... and it is going to continue. In other words, these things have a weight that the president and others can't control. That's what people need to understand. This stuff has a weight and a cycle of its own. And historically, no one has been able to override this cycle, Dr. Stan, in the last 3,000 years of recorded history, because the powers are just that much bigger than any one individual, including the Federal Reserve.
But you know, the big thing, the frightening thing, is the massive debt. If you look at the debt figures, and the Federal Reserve puts them out, and we have them, you know, they increased the total debt of America, and that's federal, state, local, and then, of course, corporate and individual debt. It went up $5 trillion in 3 years. And in the last 6 months, it's got up another $1 trillion. People have no concept. We're not liquidating the debt. We're increasing this. And eventually, of course, when you've got all this debt, you got to pay it off with money. The trouble is there isn't that much money in the whole world.
Right. I mean, we've actually built ourselves into a corner from which there is no recovery, save to push the clear button and reboot and start all over again, which has been done in recorded history. If you recall, they did it with German currency after the war.
But, of course, it wiped out the middle class. And
yep.
This is the tragedy, is that the American middle class is going to be wiped out. And, of course, then everybody will be impoverished. Everybody, of course, will be totally dependent upon the ruling class and, of course, in the bureaucracy.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what you're facing. We're overextended in the derivatives market, and there are horrible exposures for major banks in that area. In about 12 months, they're going to discover there's no silver, and indeed, silver is disappearing off the market rather rapidly. And the reason is the price of silver has been artificially hammered down so much, just along with the gold price, that there's now basically a shortage of silver. And silver is not just a monetary metal; it's also an industrial metal. But the whole world markets in silver haven't quite awakened to the fact that there's this major shortage of silver because it's just not around. The mines haven't been able to do it profitably. So you're going to see that thing, and I'm going to watch them try to hammer that thing under control when that bursts loose. We do really have an oil crunch coming in less than 10 years because thanks to a lot of environmental movement issues and other things, we've basically stopped exploration in most places. Very few new wells are being sunk or anything of that nature. It's not that we're out of oil. We are out of cheap oil. And the Russians know it. We know it. The Arabs know it. Everybody knows, at least anybody who's on the inside. So the war in Iraq really was about oil. In other words, it was about breaking up and destabilizing Saudi Arabia and the oil cartel to prevent them from, when this crunch comes, beginning to monkey with the price and jam it up and really stick it to the West. And see, all these were factors, Dr. Stan. We knew that. You remember the James Baker III Institute's report on world oil and things. You read this. These reports all came out before the Gulf War, and it's very clear that they understood very clearly what was going to have to happen here to guard U.S. interests, which is also why, say, for example, when President Bush wants to do drilling up in the Arctic, it's going to steamroller over the environmentalists this time. That will go through. That's all there is to it, see. And that's ironically what I've been saying. One of the casualties of World War III is going to be the environmental movement, because environmentalism, which started as a need to clean up the environment, and there were species that were endangered, there still are, went off the rails when it adopted socialism as its motif and began to attack property rights and think that you could roll over an infinite amount of cost and expense onto the backs of small businesses and things like that by calling them polluters or whatever. That will just not be sustainable as people's jobs are collapsing. Like you say, every day we lose how many thousand jobs? People will not put up with that anymore. And that's going to be tragic because, like I said, there really are species that need savings and certain things that need guarding. But the movement itself will have sort of deserved that because it went off the rails and began doing absurd things. And it's a very large industry right now. The whole environmental movement, the let's scare everybody about the environment, is a very large industry. So we've got all of this stuff coming together, and I guess I talked to Jim Poplava today. And
For our listeners, Jim Poplava is a financial advisor, and John does the weekly radio program Reform. But Jim has been very accurate. So what does Jim Poplava say?
What he's really afraid of, he says right now everything is so unstable. In other words, it's teeter-tottering in all quadrants, in the markets and in the money system, the value of the dollar. He's afraid of what he calls a 10-sigma event. And a 10-sigma event is something that comes at you out of left field, like the guy I was sparring with. You just don't expect it, and kapow, there it is. And what all the fragile structure you had before begins to just collapse and then interact in ways that you just could not have anticipated. The other kind of way of referring to it is, I think the one I cooked up was called a rogue wave. And a rogue wave, you know, when you go on the ocean, you have these different waves of various heights and periods, but every so often the heights and periods will come together from multiple waves to form a giant wave that is much more powerful than anybody ever could have imagined, than an ordinary wave could be. And so that's the type of scenario we're headed into. You know, I'm not worried. I just try to warn people and say this is sort of where we're headed. If you're smart, you'll take action. You know, at the same time as the economy, this is what's funny. We're supposed to be pouring this money into Iraq. At the same time, I really begin to think the IRS system is breaking down as people, you know, usually engage when things become abusive in either fraud, flight, or fight when it comes to tax. And we're starting to see that. If you notice right now, the IRS has a case against Erwin Schiff on his book, and they're not accusing him of crimes like willful evasion of income tax. They want the court to prohibit him from disseminating his ideas anymore. And I thought, well, that's really a novel thing, because here it is. They're not saying he did anything wrong. They just want him to stop telling other people how to opt out of the tax system. And I don't even want to go into that, because that's a whole different issue. My point being is people are opting out one way or another. They're cheating. They're not reporting. They're taking cash. They're untaxing themselves legally or illegally. It goes on. And so that system is out, and I think it was Karen Lee that pointed out that I can't remember if it was Karen or Joan Vion, so we were headed towards a value-added type system.
Okay, well, I've got John calling from Union City. Is that New Jersey or Union City where, John?
It's not actually a city. It's a township, and it's Union, New Jersey.
Union, New Jersey. Okay, fine. Well, John, you're a first-time caller, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
this
fine.
Time, first time I've listened live. I usually save it to my hard disk and even put it on CD-ROM.
Okay, fine. Well, do you have a question or comment?
I'd like to just bring up something for you and John Loffler. By the way, I'm one of your subscribers, John, as well as Joel Scalzo's subscriber. But as far as the Project for New American Century, when you have a chance, if you go up on their website, you look at the top right-hand corner of the page, you click on About PNOC. It'll tell you on the second sentence, the project is an initiative of the New Citizenship Project, parentheses 501c3. I've never heard of them, so I used the Google search engine and searched on New Citizenship Project. The third link down there brings you to a certain page on mediatransparency.org's website, which apparently it says the money behind the media. You find out this New Citizenship Project Incorporated has a bunch of foundations donating to it, like the Lind and Harry Bradley Foundation, who else? The Sarah Chase Foundation, the John M. Olin Foundation. So I just want to bring that to your attention, and maybe when you're off the air, both of you gentlemen can look at this and see what you think of that and bring it up in future broadcasts.
All right, fine. Well, thanks so very much for letting us know about it. And of course, it is the great foundations that are funding so many of these terrible things that are happening in the world today, as they always have, starting with Rockefeller, the Carnegie, and certainly the Ford Foundation, and now they've got so many foundations out there, all funding the radical left, almost all funding the radical left. Thanks so much, John.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
The Chinese say, may you live in interesting times.
Right. Well, I believe in I think you know that the project for the new American century is well funded, has a number of very, very prominent people in it, headed by William Kristol, who's financed by Rupert Murdoch, who seems to be one of the major architects of everything that's going on today. And of course, if you look up on the web of Rupert Murdoch, you find out that, of course, as a boy, he was dedicated to socialism, even had a bust of Lenin on his desk, and I've seen pictures of him. He still has that bust of Lenin. But people don't understand that there was no communism in Russia. There was no socialism in Russia. It was an elite system of ruling elite and everybody else enslaved. Truly, a return to feudalism, and that's the way we're heading unless the American people wake up. And then, of course, what about the spiritual dimension of this, John? Because I think that most commentators, as they discuss what's going on, forget about God. Maybe the problem in America is Americans have forgotten about God. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, as a society, we've forgotten about him. I mean, we've refashioned God in our own image. I picked up the Book of Revelation today to reread it again. I'd like to go back over it from time to time. And I was amazed when I started into the Four Horsemen that three of the Four Horsemen seem to be a very apt description of what we've been through in the last 50 years here in the world. Even the Red Horse, which was allowed to take peace from the earth by causing people to kill each other. The symbolism of red communism, you know. And then the Black Horse, when we begin to talk about inflation and all of these issues that are there. So that's the end game. It's not something that I'm not uptight about it. But I do know that we have come through a paradigm change, and a lot of people are going to get hurt financially and physically if they don't understand what's happening.
I think I notice you're ignoring the fourth horseman,
the rider of the pale horse. The pale horse, which, of course, is disease and famine and pestilence.
And a quarter of the world's population would be destroyed.
Right. It's just amazing. Like I said, Christians, you know, everybody sort of, it's in vogue nowadays to mock Christianity or to say that religion is a matter of personal belief. But the reason so many Christians are so keen on all of this is because the very same book warned us that in the end times, you would have sort of a global economic system, that it would be replete with inflation, that everybody would have to be given a number to buy or sell. And at the time this was written, and even for the centuries on, even Martin Luther just a few centuries ago had a hard time figuring out what this all meant, because it didn't make sense to him. But now in the 20th century, we can see how all of these things could possibly be. And they make sense to us now, which is what the book of Daniel said. Remember when Daniel asked the angel and says, well, hey, what is this all? What does all this stuff mean? And he basically says, never you mind. He said, this is all sealed up until the time of the end, which means that those prophecies regarding the time of the end are not needed by anybody except the people that live in the end time. In other words, it's like a coding system to sort of explain where we're headed in these things.
I don't know if you heard our first hour. I figure you were probably out as your karate. But
I heard part of it coming home.
We had this lady on who, very, very sincere. But, of course, she believes that there is reptilian people, these people who come from outer space. And, of course, these are the leaders of the world today. And she believes, of course, they're mating with women and creating all these offspring. And, you know, it'd be so reminiscent of the story of the Nephilim. Of course, were the offspring of the fallen angels who had come to Earth. And until you really understand the supernatural and that there really is a spiritual battle that's being waged behind the scenes between a God and, of course, between his angels and the demons and the fallen angels of Satan, you really can't understand much of what's going on in the world today, or the UFO phenomenon, the alien abduction phenomenon, and, of course, to correlate this realm with what's going on today. And the question is that the real realm, or do we live in the real realm?
Well, I believe it's a combination of both. It was like trying to explain to people what everything detailed behind the war in Iraq. I said, you cannot see this thing as simply an either-or. You know, in the mainline media and in the conservative radio, it was being discussed as a left versus right issue. You either love America, hate America. But the important questions never got answered. And I said, you have to splay this thing outwards and realize that it's traveling in three or four or five dimensions, all sorts of things of which are going on simultaneously. And that this is what's important, is that you can't see this as single items. There really are a whole series of things in play. But at the same time, you can also see that the end game is to sort of enslave Western culture or world culture, because we're employing all of the techniques before, whether intentionally or by default, that would do that. And we're in full swing of this. And the hardest part to get people to arouse out of it, see, most people that look at these things see everything we've talked about tonight, or everything that comes down the tube at night, as random, unrelated incidents,
right,
rather than understanding that they are, in a different way, actually different little parts of a much bigger puzzle.
Life.
The other thing Westerners have forgotten, Stan, is that such a thing as organized evil, both at the spiritual level and frequently at the human level. But there really is organized evil. It's not just a matter of good or bad personal choices. And because of that, because people do not believe in this organized evil, they're not on the lookout for it. Which, if, remember, C.S. Lewis said, Screwtape, one of the things that Satan does best is to make people believe he doesn't exist.
And when they believe that we don't exist, at that point we will know that we've won.
That's pretty much it. So it's going to be interesting times, because right now we can see all these trends. Everything's on the move. Everything is on the move right now. We can anticipate to see destabilization of the government of Iran by the CIA and other groups, because the Shiites will cause huge amounts of problems for what we want to do in Iraq right now, which is, I would estimate, roll out the concrete and have a place of operations from there. Syria is convenient right now. Where North Korea goes, we don't know. Pakistan's an issue. When's the next terrorist event? What happens after that? What will the global money markets do? You know, the Europeans and the Arabs are all starting to pull their money out of the U.S. They're finally realizing the jig is up, and of course they have to move slowly so that it doesn't happen in large fashion, but they realize that the Chinese, the Arabs, and some of the Europeans are rolling their money back into gold and precious metals now, whereas the Americans are still going, la, 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 la.
John, we could go on, but we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us. And, you know, of course, it's a wonderful time to know the Lord, because, of course, I believe a lot of men's hearts are going to fail because they don't understand what's going on, but we're involved.
That's it. Remember what I said. It's either you see the whole picture in the end game, or you see it all as unrelated events, and that's a panic field for many people.
Amen to that. Well, God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us, John.
God bless, Dan.
Bye-bye. And, of course, I hope you enjoy having John. I always enjoy having him on. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our boys overseas. Pray the American people may begin to understand what's going on. And lastly, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow evening at the same time, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.
what she does, and actually she called, she gave me her address, she'd like a copy of the tape.
Sure, okay.
And she lives in Gardena, and I'm familiar with that area. Gardena is kind of a working class area, so if she's been through what she has, it's possible, you know, she doesn't have a lot of support. So, anyways, Randy Thomason asked if you could call him. He left his cell number.
Although I'll give him a call, but there's no way I can send him a call. I've got too much around here to do to go on down for that.
We're getting to the pipeline.
Sure. Hi, sweetie.
Those things are all filed.
Oh, thanks, Herman.